If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 1. The Scripture says in the very first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the reading of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, if correctly read. Father, how we thank you for the privilege to be in your house, to hear the praises of God sung in this place, to walk down the hallway and hear teachers teach. What a blessing. Father, now we enter into a time of preaching. God, I pray this morning that you would lift the veil this morning. Hallelujah. You would help us to see truth, to examine it, to behold the glory of God. Father, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes, give us understanding and enlightenment. Take away the fog this morning for just a little space of grace and teach us new truths from your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of John has 21 chapters, 879 verses, and 18,658 words, if I've counted correctly. His theme has been the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was and is the Son of God. In verses 1 through 14, he presents us three quick themes. In verses 1 through 3, he teaches us that Jesus is the Word of God. In verses 4 through 9, he presents to us that Jesus is the light. Verse number 14, he says that Jesus is the glory of God. Now it is interesting to me, in verse 14, the Scripture says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The beginning of parenthesis. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," end of parenthesis, "full of grace and truth." A parenthetical expression has been inserted here by John, yea, I say, by the Holy Spirit of God, to give us an explanation, to give us further tidbits of information, to clarify or to define what is happening. Understand, John is writing this book in about 90 AD, some 50 plus years after Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And John, as he's writing, is impressed of the Holy Ghost. Hey, 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He inserts this parenthesis, this parenthetic expression. Sometimes you can read a sentence and even take the parenthetical expression out. It would read like this: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us."
full of grace and truth, it still makes perfect sense. But John feels led of the Holy Ghost to insert this parenthetical expression. And this morning I want to preach on this thought, God being my helper. The power of the parenthesis. I want to say in verse number 14, first of all, John presents to us the parenthesis of privilege. What he's writing about, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He is writing of a personal experience. In fact, it was an experience where he saw Jesus. You know, Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Jesus transfigured before them. And they heard the voice of Almighty God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. John presented to us in John 1, verses 1 through 3, that Jesus is the Word. God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye him. John said, beginning in verse number 4 through verse number 9, he said, Jesus is the light. Hey, John would tell you, he was there. He said, I saw his face shine like the sun, and his raiment became white as light. Hey, not only is he the Word and the light, but he said, Jesus is the glory of God. Hey, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark wrote, he said, he was the fulfillment. He was empowered from the inside out. He shone and filled with the glory of God. So here's the thought. Everything John wrote in 1 through 14 was based on that parenthesis, his personal experience. This morning, there's a parenthesis in your life. And John said, everything at that point in my life revolved around that parenthetical expression. What a privilege to be on the Mount of Transfiguration on the mountaintop with Jesus. And they saw him glorified, high, and lifted up. What a supreme privilege. There's a day in my life that everything in my life revolves around that experience. It was July the 13th, 1978 for me, when I bowed at an old-fashioned altar and I called on Jesus and he saved my sin-sick soul. And now my personal experience with Jesus, what a parenthesis of privilege that he has saved our souls. We're going to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. What a privilege. What a privilege. I want to try to move off this thought quickly. What parenthesis, what parenthetical expression, where are you living today? Are you living in the parenthesis of privilege or of problems? Chapter number 4. John's got a bunch of these parenthetical expressions. I think there are 12 of them. At least 5 of them are about personal experiences. Look at verse number 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Parentheses. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. In the parentheses. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith of thee, give me to drink, thou wast asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I'll stop there for just a second. Jesus is weary and sits on the well. At about 12 o'clock, here comes a woman to draw water. The women came early in the morning, but she didn't come early in the morning because she was an outcast. She was an exile because she was a woman that had had many husbands. She was a woman of ill repute. And so being an outcast from society, she comes at 12 o'clock when she has no friends, no one to care for her soul. There sits Jesus on the well. Where are his disciples? Where are his disciples living? They're living inside the parenthesis. Where are they? Somebody tell me. They're gone to get food. Let me tell you something. If you have bills, bless your heart, you got to pay bills, that's a problem. But if you are hungry, that supersedes any other bill you have to pay. If you're behind on your car payment, that's terrible, but you still got to eat. And these men are motivated by hunger, and they're out buying food. Here comes a woman. Jesus begins to talk to her. She says, I'm a Samaritan woman. You should have no dealings with me whatsoever. Why would you speak to me even? What she's saying is, I deserve hell. I don't deserve heaven. Jesus led her to a place of salvation. She left her water pot, and she ran out into the city, and she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Jump down with me now. Verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said, while you boys are concerned about the natural body and taking care of all the problems in your life, I led a woman to salvation. They come back and said, yeah, but now we've got something to eat. He said, you know, boys don't understand. I'm not hungry for physical food. I got something today that money can't buy and food can't satisfy. And that is that I am leading people to salvation. And the disciples just didn't get it. They were so consumed by food, they thought, has somebody else given him something to eat? You realize when you go to Ingles or by Lowe's, or wherever it is, Walmart, wherever you buy groceries, you're out buying food. That little girl that checks you out has a soul as you're checked out there as a cashier. But you don't slow down and talk to her about Jesus. She's got needs in her family. Her home's falling apart. You don't stop to talk to her about the Lord. You know to, but you're living in the parenthesis of problems. You've got to get the food back to the house. There are things to go. You are so consumed by taking care of problems that you do not notice the spiritual realm that surrounds you. While we say we live in the parenthesis of privilege, you're actually living in the realm, the parenthesis of problems. Can I get a witness? Now let's come back to John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, parentheses, but the servants which drew the water knew, parentheses, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus is asked to come to a wedding. He and his disciples go. They're having that wedding, and evidently they've run out of wine. How embarrassing. And the servants began to talk about it, and somehow Mary heard it. And Mary said to her son, Jesus, she said, they've run out of wine. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I'm not here to be recognized. I'm not here to take over. I'm just been invited to this wedding. But he knew there was a need. She looked at the servants, not to everybody at the wedding. She looked at the servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Jesus said to the servants, not to everybody at the wedding, not to the bridegroom, not to the bride, not to the governor of the feast, not to the mother and the father-in-law. Listen, he didn't speak to any of the other crowd but to the servants. And he said, Fill those water pots with water and draw out and give to the governor of the feast. And they did. What choice do we have? They filled the water pots up, and then they began to take out of those water pots. And when they began to pour it into the glass, it was wine. Don't you know they said, wow, that was water. And Jesus has turned it to wine. Moses' first miracle was turning water to blood. But Jesus has turned it to wine. And finally, they get over to the governor of the feast. And they fill up his cup. He says, wow. He didn't know what had happened. But the servants knew. See, they were living in the parenthesis of privilege. And they said to the bridegroom, says, hey, come here a minute. Man, most people serve the good wine first. But, oh, you know, son, you've kept the good wine. What a blessing.
Amen.
Well, the bridegroom didn't even know. He didn't know it had run out. He didn't know it got new. He had no idea. Let me tell you something. You and I, all we're going to do is run out. The only right thing the bridegroom has done, you know what he did? He said to Jesus, I want you, Lord, to attend my wedding. Would you come to my wedding? That's the best thing you and I'll ever do. Lord, would you just show up? Would you just be there, Lord? I'm going to God, that's all I want. The Bible said in the parentheses that the servants knew. What a privilege. When the servant started to say something, Lord, he just went, shh, let the bridegroom take the credit for it. You know I did it. I know I did it, but I let him take the credit for it. When you live in the parenthesis of privilege, God lets you in on a few things, and he lets you take the credit for it. But you know, and he knows, that you had nothing to do with it. That you just run out. Not every time when God's done something wonderful in my life does he want me to put it on Facebook. Not every time does he want me to write it on the bathroom walls. Not every time does he want me to get up and interrupt the service and just tell you. There are times he wants us to testify. There are times he wants us to share and give him glory. But there's times when he just says to the servant, shh. It's just between me and you. What a privilege. Ooh, hallelujah. Whoop. What a privilege to serve Jesus and live inside the parenthesis. I'm just glad he lets us in sometimes on what he's doing. In the book of John, chapter number 11, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Parenthesis. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. End of parenthesis. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now we know the story, that he tarried. The Bible says in verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 31. Mary's been called now. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. I want to stop right there. You realize that Martha, she came to Jesus, and she stood and she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Mary came to Jesus and fell at his feet and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They said the same thing, but one of them touched his soul. Martha stood conversant with him, but Mary knelt at his feet. Something about her humility, they said the same words, but something about her humility got his attention. We wrote that the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus back to life. And we jumped to chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now again, this is incredible to me, because John is writing 90 years A.D., 50 plus years after Christ was crucified, buried, and risen again. And she anointed his feet, Jesus' feet, in chapter 12. But before Lazarus ever even died, while he was still sick, John wrote chapter 11, verse 2, and he inserted a parenthesis. That parenthesis, to me, is very important. It's a parenthesis of praise. Look at verse 2 again. It was Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, she didn't anoint his feet until after he'd been raised again. But John spoke about it while Lazarus, as if he was still sick. In fact, I want to submit to you that in the parenthesis of privilege and in the parenthesis of praise where Mary's living, the first time this little girl heard Jesus say in their home, I am going to die in your place because I love you and I want to redeem you from your sins. But it's okay because on the first day of the week, I'll be raised back to life. She believed him. She believed Jesus. Now the disciples debated it. Ah, he really gonna die. I can't believe it out there. But Mary, she believed him. And in her heart, the very minute she heard that Jesus would die in her place, she said, I want to do something for him. You know, the ointment that she used, they tell us, was very costly. It would have been over 1 year's wages. I believe the very moment she heard Jesus was going to die for her, she began to save her money. Said, I'm going to anoint his feet. When he's back at our house again, I am going to anoint his feet. And I am going to invest everything I have into this ointment because he is worthy. Don't you know the devil began to attack her? Say, what are you doing, you foolish little girl? He doesn't really love you. He's not here all the time. But she said, let me tell you something. He said he's going to die, and he's no liar. He said he's going to be raised again, and he's no liar. He's a truth teller. He's the Word of God. He is the light. Amen. She believed it. Are y'all listening to me? They sent for Jesus, but it didn't come right then. And her brother died. Look with me. Chapter number 11. Turn there. The Bible says in verse 39, when Jesus got there, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Can you hear Martha? she clears her throat and says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." She said that with such resentment and such animosity, not towards Jesus, to her sister. You know why? Because Mary did not use that ointment, that spikenard, on her brother. That's why he stinketh. If she had anointed him the way the Jews do it, he would not have been stinking. Don't you know the devil said, "Don't you love your brother? That's Lazarus laying there. Y'all grown up together. Why don't you use that on Lazarus?" She said, "I do love my brother, but I believe my Jesus will come raise him back to life. And I'm going to live in the parenthesis, not just a privilege, but I'm determined to live in the parenthesis of praise." When Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone," her sister said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." Thinking Mary did not anoint him. But we know the story. If she had anointed Lazarus, she would have anointed the wrong one. It would have been wasted. Because Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And when that woman said, "By this time he stinketh," I bet Jesus grinned from eternity past to eternity future and said, "She don't know what I know. Lazarus, come forth." And he came walking out, he that was bound hand and foot, and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Don't you know Mary didn't say, "Doggone it, I've anointed the wrong one." And after Lazarus was raised back to life, though she had already, for all those years, had been saving her money to anoint the feet of Jesus, when he came in her house, she bowed down before him and she offered him the parenthesis and the power of praise. She gave Jesus everything that she had. So where are you living? Is your life defined, rotating, encapsulated in the parenthesis of privilege, the parenthesis of praise,